Okay, the scripture passage for today. Remember, we're going through 1 Thessalonians, and Pastor Rudy is going to be speaking today. And we're starting with chapter 2, verse 17, and going through chapter 3, verse 6. And this is how this passage reads. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has come just now to us from you, and he has brought good news about your love and faith. I'm sorry, faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you.
And good morning. Yeah, that's better. And I hope that we all are doing well this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's another day that the Lord has created. And we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice in the knowledge that the Lord is with us this morning here as well. With the comforting knowledge that the Spirit of the Lord, who knows our hearts, is here, present with us this morning. And as Pastor Jeff said, we will continue the journeys through 1 Thessalonians this morning. And thank you for reading the passage that we are going to be talking about. And I have actually titled this sermon, Love and Care and Suffering. And we will see some partnering there, how we can partner with other churches and Christians in doing the work of the Lord. But before we continue, let us pray. Lord, this is a beautiful day. It's a new day that you have created for us. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you. Thank you, you have brought us together here and with those who are present with us online. Thank you for that. And as we meditate in your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit illumine our hearts and minds, and that through this, your Spirit may speak to us words of love, words of care. Lord, if someone of us today is not feeling well, or if there is anything that is causing fear, anxiety, or pain, we pray for healing and for that peace that surpasses all understanding. For that peace that only can be explained if it comes from you. Heal our anxiety. Heal us. We pray. We pray all the things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if we want to find a context, you know, Paul writing this letter to the church in 1 Thessalonians. But if we want to find exactly what happened, you know, what is Paul talking about in this letter, we would have to go to Acts 17, 1 through 10, and I'm going to read it for us. After Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days, argue with them from the scripture, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This is the Messiah Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as they did great many, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. While they were searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out to the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. Now, if you know, Jason was basically the head of the synagogue there. So when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has entertained them as guests. They are all acting contrary to the decrees of the emperor, saying that there is another king named Jesus." The people and the city officials were disturbed when they heard this, and after they had taken bail from Jason and the others, they let him go. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea, and when they arrived at Berea, they went to the Jewish synagogue. So this is what Paul is talking about, starting in chapter 2, verse 17, in 1 Thessalonians. This is Thessalonians helped Paul to escape for his life under the cover of the night in a very, very dramatic experience. Paul was teaching and preaching that Jesus was the Messiah in the synagogue, and many people were persuaded and joined him. Many of the people who became disciples of Jesus were Greeks, and not a few of them leading or prominent women in Thessalonica. You know, this is the power of the gospel, bringing the Gentiles together. But I think it's very important that we notice the mention of women here becoming Christians, prominent women, you know, this is great. These are the new believers that have found new hope. New believers that have found new hope in the good news of Jesus. These are the new believers who have become part of a new community. You know, when a person who was not raised in a Christian home comes to the knowledge of Jesus, they rejoice in what they have found. I have seen the power of the gospel working in people. I have seen many people experiencing the blessing of the power to change from a sinful life to a devoted life in following Jesus. And the power is so strong that they cannot deny it, they cannot recant it, or they cannot renounce it. I remember back in my church in Monjas in Guatemala, two young sisters became Christians. Their parents were not Christians. Their parents were very, very upset when they told them what had happened. These two sisters, though, asked for permission to attend church on Sunday morning. The church was within walking distance. And over there, it's very common for people to walk to church at the time anyways. So their father told them they could go only after they did the work that he would assign to them in the morning before going to church, which was to remove kernels from the cobs. I don't know if you ever seen this type of work, you know, when the corn becomes hard and matures in the cob, then, you know, it's time to take it off, or, you know, peel it off, basically from the cob. And then after that, you can prepare it, you can wash it, you can clean it, and then cook it. And from there, actually, you cook it, and I don't have the recipe to cook it, but from there, you know, once it's cooked, then it's grounded, and then from there, we get the masa to make tortillas, okay? And so this is what was happening. They had to go extra work, and they had to finish it before they were allowed to go to church. And you know what they did? They got up earlier on Sundays, did the work, and then they went to church. And so they, you know, that did not stop them. My own mother, when she heard the gospel for the first time outside of the Catholic Church, she accepted it and she never looked back. Her family was very upset, very angry with her. They even threatened, I think they did for a while anyway, they disowned her. But, you know, she never went back. And eventually, through the years, some of my aunts and uncles also became Christians. So it's suffering, you know, for the cause of Jesus. And I do not know many people here in the States that has experienced, maybe, and I'm not saying they have not, I just don't personally know the people who have had this kind of dramatic encounter with the good news that transforms their lives and leaves everything behind to follow Jesus. Not because there is no suffering, but because they have found the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus. They have found the joy of serving Jesus and the love that comes from God. For God so loved the world. See, they have experienced this. And now they are not willing to go back, even if that means suffering, mocking, rejection by their own families and from their communities in which they grew up. Paul, as the missionary, the preacher of the gospel, recalls that painful experience of sudden, forced, secretive escape for his life under the cover of night. Normally, when you must flee in a rush for your life, there is no time to say proper goodbyes. No time to process the departure of a loved one and the implications of that separation. There are many things left unsaid. Many things are just assumed. And he is concerned for the Thessalonians. How are they doing? Are they okay? Are they too concerned about Paul's suffering? Are they suffering for the cause of Jesus themselves? How are they managing? In a world of honor and shame, how are they viewing his fleeing to save his life? Is this shameful? Or how can this bring honor to Paul or to them? I think the answer to all these questions about them are found in the letter itself. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers. Constantly remember before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus. How you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. For us, the answer to these questions is in having found in the person of Jesus, his teachings, his life, his suffering, his death and resurrection, this new life that is worth living. What do we do if we are faced with persecution and suffering for following Jesus? Today, we can send a text. We can, you know, send a picture of our loved ones who live far from us. Often I send a text to Gabri, you know, if it's been a while that I've seen a picture of my grandkids. I sent her a text and I said, hey, can you send me a picture of my grands? And of you, and of you too? And she does. And sometimes she calls. And, you know, she does a video call. And I can see them playing and running around in the living room and doing all kinds of things that kids do. And it's just wonderful. I know I saw them, you know. I don't sit there and wonder, how are they doing? And so, but this was not the case in Paul's day. And he tells them, as for us, brothers and sisters, when for a short time we were made orphans, and listen to the painful way of expressing this. We were made orphans by being separated from you in person, not in heart. We longed with great eagerness to see you face to face. Paul missed them, even as he writes. He still missed them. They are in his heart in prayers, and he longs to see them, just as they are anxious to see him again too. So in Timothy, he partnered to find out what is going on in the church, what is going on with them, and also bring good news. Paul writes that he tries to go back to see them, but found opposition. And the opposition is so strong that he says, Satan blocked our way. There is a spiritual battle going on. So Paul sends Timothy, who is happy to go. Timothy loves Paul, and Timothy loves the church, just like Paul loves the church. God loves the world. Did you know that? I hope we did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. God in Jesus demonstrated his love for his disciples, for the church, for you. Let us therefore love one another. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Paul may have been killed if it had not been for the believers who sent him off in a rush under the cover of the night. How do we partner with other churches or with other believers to see the Christian in other churches here in the States, how they are doing, or how other churches around the world are doing? These are things that we can think about. How is the church around the world doing? Let us think about the gospel and the human experience. The gospel outside of the human experience can be just a concept, a theory, an empty concept, an empty theory. It sounds nice. It is idealistic. It's lofty. If only it can be lived out. But the gospel must be experiential. This transformative power of the gospel is realized with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Apostle Peter had a tough time understanding this. When Jesus tried to wash his feet, he refused. When he thought he understood, he not only wanted his feet washed, but he also wanted a full bath. Jesus said, no, you do not need a bath. You're already clean. But it wasn't until he saw the Holy Spirit poured out on the people, he realized that this was real and that Joel's prophecy could be experiential. Not all human encounter with Jesus have been as dramatic as Paul's, but our encounter was so meaningful, empowered, that it has changed our lives, has changed the lives of those who were transformed by that encounter. You know, I talked earlier about these two sisters, and by the way, they're still serving the Lord. One of them is like the moderator in our church, in the church, the home church in Mohas, and the other one is very active working here in New Jersey, in a church in New Jersey. And of course, during the lifetime of my mother, she saw people, her own family, coming to the knowledge of Jesus. You know, with the work that many Christians did in Guatemala with sharing the transformative power of the Holy Spirit of the gospel in their lives, many people became also Christians. and have experienced that power. To believe is to do what one believes. If we say we believe in God, but live a life that actively denies our relationship with God, then we may as well not believe. In fact, we do not believe. It doesn't mean that the word of God is not true. It means that with our life, we denied what we say we believe. The power of God is still there. There is a correlation between faith, belief, and our human experience and reality. Timothy's charge was to strengthen and encourage the church for the sake of their faith. Make sure that their faith does not falter by the persecution. Persecution, especially chronic or long-term, can mess with our hearts. It really can. So we do need to keep our hearts in check. The natural way to respond to persecution is retaliation. That is just the natural way. That's what we want to do. But we cannot do that. We cannot pay evil for evil. In the life as Christians, if we are to not only survive but thrive, we need God with us in Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit with us. We need to give ourselves to the Lord without reservation and belong to a community of faith that loves us and that we love that community. So let us partner with one another in the service of the Lord. Let us partner with churches around us in the service of the Lord. Let us partner with the brethren church too in caring for other churches here in the States and our global partners. You know, I am part of the executive board of the Brethren Church, I become more aware, and my fault for not sharing this more often with you. But right now the Brethren Church is really helping the church in Sarasota, has helped the church in Sarasota. You know, the church was damaged big time in Sarasota, the hurricane. But the church, the Brethren Church as a corporation, is helping. So I want to say I will try to make sure that I pass along more information about what the Brethren Church is doing. It's my responsibility. Let us, Jesus, bind us together as we sing in our community service. Timothy's work was a two-way service to strengthen and encourage the Thessalonians, to bring back news about the church to Paul. And he did both. He brought the good news to Paul. And Paul writes, "They always remember them kindly and long to see them." This, in turn, brought encouragement to Paul. See how dynamic the church should be when we take the time to encourage one another? Can we be that dynamic church in the service of the Lord and one another? My hope is that we will say, "Yes, yes, Lord, here we are. We want to serve you. We want to serve the church. We want to serve our communities. We want to serve you." Amen.